Lowe's sabe que a todos nos gusta ahorrar, especialmente en esta temporada. Por eso escogimos deals buenísimos para Early Black Friday. Obtén gratis una herramienta selecta DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman al comprar una batería o un kit selecto. También tenemos árboles de Navidad preiluminados selectos desde $59.98, porque nunca es muy pronto para poner el arbolito. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Hasta agotar existencia, selección varía por lugar.
In the brutal, mud-soaked theater of Vimy Ridge, 1917, a Canadian scout, Silas Ward, he vanishes during a silent patrol.
Vanishes? How?
That's just it. No gunfire, no scream. He was just gone.
Wow.
Then 3 weeks later, he reappears, barefoot, uniform completely shredded, his body covered in blood.
His blood?
No. Mm. That's the chilling part. None of it is.
Okay, that's quite an opening.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. This is the show where we take your most intriguing sources, we cut through all the noise and really pull out those vital nuggets of knowledge.
Helping you get genuinely well-informed, often with some pretty surprising facts and, well, engaging insights along the way.
And today we are plunging headfirst into a profoundly unsettling historical enigma. It's a story that really blurs the lines, you know, between documented fact and, well, something like extraordinary legend.
Mm-hmm.
His story is so compelling, one of our main sources for this deep dive actually calls him, quite boldly, the Wolverine of Vimy Ridge.
Indeed. And that's our core source material today. A document literally titled, The Wolverine of Vimy Ridge.
Right.
And it lays out these sparse, yet really striking details about Ward's existence. It paints a picture that, honestly, it challenges our whole understanding of human potential, or maybe what lies beyond it.
It feels like it insists on being fact, doesn't it?
It does. The narrative presents itself as factual,
but
it recounts events that just seem utterly impossible.
So our mission for you today is to forensically unpack the timeline of Silas Ward's life, at least as it's presented in the source. We're going to examine the unexplained events that seem to transform him.
Look at those chilling eyewitness accounts that still kind of echo through history.
Yeah, and figure out how his enduring legacy, this almost primal legacy, despite all the mystery, earned him that comparison to, you know, an iconic figure from modern fiction.
It's not just some historical anecdote, is it?
No, definitely not. Think of this as a cold clinical examination. Like we're looking at a whisper of something far stranger that came out of the World War I trenches.
And it just faded back into the wilderness.
Exactly.
So we're going to trace his path meticulously from what seemed like an ordinary soldier.
Well,
maybe not ordinary.
Huh, right. Even from the start.
Even from the start. All the way to becoming this figure of legend. We'll scrutinize every documented detail we have from the source.
And it feels like each piece of information, as the source gives it, it just deepens the enigma, doesn't it? It doesn't seem to resolve anything.
Precisely. More questions than answers.
Okay, let's begin our deep dive then. The enigma of Silas Ward. Our story opens, as we said, Vimy Ridge, 1917. Height of World War I.
It's hard to even picture, isn't it? The relentless artillery, the smell.
Yeah, that acrid scent of cordite clinging to everything, the mud, trenches everywhere, a landscape just scarred beyond recognition. Every step could be your last.
Vimy Ridge wasn't just a battle. It was like a crucible designed to just grind people down.
Redefining endurance day by day, hour by hour. Brutal.
And it's right there in that crucible of destruction that we first meet Silas Ward.
The source identifies him simply as a Canadian scout.
Now, in 1917, a scout, that wasn't just any soldier. They were, you know, the tip of the spear.
To eyes and ears.
Exactly. Often operating alone or maybe in tiny units, deep behind enemy lines, sometimes for days.
Unbelievable pressure.
It demanded unparalleled instincts, total stealth, and this almost preternatural ability to navigate and survive in places that would just break most people.
They were like ghosts on the battlefield, relying on wits, senses blending into the horror.
And Silas Ward, well, he clearly fit that description, even before his story took that bizarre twist.
Our source describes him as quiet, almost unnervingly precise.
Says he never said more than he had to.
Which suggests, what, a really focused, observant nature?
I think so. Not someone for idle chatter. Every word, every movement likely had a purpose. Deliberate, economical.
That kind of disciplined self-control, that almost ascetic approach, it would make him incredibly effective as a scout in that silent, deadly no man's land.
A man of intense focus, almost a cipher, like you said.
Yeah.
And his reputation, it seems, preceded him within his unit. He was becoming almost legendary, even before the really inexplicable stuff started.
What did the other men say?
Well, according to the source, the men said he could track anything, even in the dark.
Wow. Okay, even in the dark. That's significant.
Hugely significant. It elevates him beyond just being competent. It hints at this almost intuitive connection to his environment, heightened senses.
Operating where others would be completely blind, helpless.
To track in total darkness. That takes more than skill. It's like an animalistic sensitivity to tiny cues. A disturbed pebble, a shift in the air, the faintest scent.
So even before whatever happened, Silas Ward was already exceptional, almost preternatural.
A quiet phantom of the battlefield, yeah. Already capable of things that bordered on the extraordinary. An anomaly, even then.
But then the extraordinary, it takes the sharp turn towards the truly inexplicable. It shatters any kind of conventional understanding of what he could do.
Tell us about the disappearance.
One night, he's on a silent patrol behind enemy lines, deep in absolute darkness. And Silas Ward vanished.
Just vanished.
Not a trace, not a sound. The source is chillingly precise about it. It emphasizes this absolute void he left. No gunfire, no screams, just gone.
Imagine that. You're out there, oppressive darkness, maybe just the distant rumble of the front line.
And the person next to you, the silent shadow.
Just ceases to exist one moment there, the next.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Just a terrifying empty space.
The suddenness, the total lack of any struggle.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it so deeply unsettling.
And what's particularly chilling here, from a sort of analytical perspective, is the complete lack of evidence.
Right. In trench warfare, guys went missing, sure, but usually.
Usually there was some sign. A struggle, a body, blood, maybe a captured uniform, an enemy report, something.
But with Ward, nothing.
The abruptness, the silence, it immediately sets it apart. It doesn't feel like a conventional combat loss. It feels like an erasure.
Like he was just deleted from the battlefield record.
Exactly. And that vacuum of information, right from the start, it deepens the mystery, gives his initial disappearance this almost supernatural quality. It just defies the brutal logic of war.
And the unit, well, you can imagine, they didn't just shrug this off. Especially not with a man like Ward. He was too valuable, too unique.
He searched.
4 days, apparently, scouring the churned up earth, collapsed trenches, that debris strewn no man's land, looking for any sign.
But found nothing.
Absolutely nothing. After an exhaustive, completely fruitless search, the inevitable conclusion was drawn. Silas Ward was officially
declared dead.
It firmly established the perceived end of his life, a definitive bureaucratic close to his military record.
His name added to the list of the fallen.
His story seemingly over before the really astounding part even began. It's this profound finality.
That turned out to be anything but final.
Exactly.
You know, to be declared dead in wartime.
Mm-hmm.
It's an official erasure. Your story's done, fate sealed by paperwork. It offers a grim kind of closure.
A mark of remembrance for those left behind.
But for Silas Ward, this declaration was just a pause, a punctuation mark before this new, inexplicable chapter just forced itself open.
It really underscores the shock, the utter confusion that must have come with his return. It completely upended the accepted reality of his death.
The finality of him being dead just amplifies the impossibility of him coming back.
And think about the psychological impact on the soldiers who saw him vanish. A comrade, this skilled, almost uncanny scout, just disappears. Poof.
It would introduce this element of the unknown, right? A new threat you can't quantify, can't train for.
It goes beyond the visible enemy, the Germans in the other trench, to something else, something insidious, silent, unseen.
That profound unease, that uncertainty about the very fabric of reality.
It would only get deeper with what came next, turning unease into, well, maybe sheer terror.
The human mind really struggles with things that defy categorization, especially under extreme stress like that.
You start thinking, ghosts, monsters. Something not of this earth.
Those concepts might offer some kind of framework, maybe, for something so utterly outside the normal bounds of combat.
So Ward's disappearance wasn't just losing a man. It was like an existential disruption. Made soldiers question the very nature of the threats they faced.
And the implications of that disruption would become terrifyingly clear when he reappeared.
Because what happened next? 3 weeks after he was officially declared dead, it was genuinely astonishing. Silas Ward just came back.
He reappeared.
But he wasn't the same guy who vanished into the veamy darkness. The source's description of his return is chilling, almost clinical in its brutality.
What did it say?
He was barefoot, uniform shredded, covered in blood, none of it his.
Okay, let's pause on that last detail. None of it his.
Right. That specific phrase is profoundly disturbing. It just throws up a barrage of questions.
Where had he been? What had he encountered? If it wasn't his blood, whose was it? Animal blood. Other soldiers.
And how could he be so severely affected, you know, uniform, shredded, barefoot, but apparently uninjured himself? What kind of ordeal leaves you physically devastated, but biologically untouched?
His physical state definitely suggests some unimaginable ordeal, a journey through some hellscape, or maybe an incredibly violent confrontation that left him stripped bare, literally and figuratively.
But the absence of his own blood, it's a critical, almost impossible contradiction.
It directly implies either an extraordinary, unprecedented resistance to injury.
Or what? Rapid healing, like instantaneous.
Something like that. An ability that defied every known biological process at the time. Think about how bodies normally react to trauma, bleeding, swelling, pain.
Standard stuff.
For Ward to be covered in blood, yet show no sign of his own wounds. It suggests cellular regeneration so fast it just bypasses the usual stages of injury and recovery.
Like a fundamental reengineering of his biology, something beyond just being tough.
Exactly, something beyond mere resilience.
And compounding this huge physical mystery was his demeanor.
How did he act?
The source states it simply. He didn't explain where he'd been, and even more starkly, he didn't speak at all.
Cold silence.
His silence is as profound, as unsettling as his physical state. It wasn't just that he wouldn't explain. The source makes it feel like he couldn't.
Or maybe the experience was so transformative, so alien, that human language just stopped working for him as a way to communicate.
It suggests a complete rupture from his former self, a detachment from that very human need to process and talk about trauma.
Leaving this immense, terrifying void, inviting endless speculation about what happened in those 3 weeks.
That profound silence. In many ways, that's the most unnerving part of his return.
It points to a deep psychological shift, yeah.
Yeah.
A detachment from the social, the cognitive functions that define human interaction.
What could happen to someone to make them utterly mute about their own harrowing, maybe world-shattering experience?
Is it just refusal? Or something deeper, a biological or psychological inability? We're left wondering if the trauma broke his mind, or if it fundamentally altered his perception of reality, making human communication just meaningless to him.
His silence is like a direct portal to the unanswerable.
And the changes didn't stop there, did they?
No. The source lists these radical shifts in his behavior after he came back, shifts that pushed him further and further outside the bounds of what anyone considered human.
Like what?
First, he stopped carrying a rifle.
A scout on the front lines of World War I.
Exactly. It's almost unthinkable. It's an act of profound vulnerability. Or
maybe supreme terrifying confidence.
Right. It implies some newfound internal power. A disinterest in conventional weapons, like he didn't need them anymore.
Or found them irrelevant to his new capabilities.
Maybe he became the weapon.
That's a chilling thought. The rifle is a tool, right? An extension of human intent. A way to inflict harm or defend from a distance.
Standard warfare.
To discard it suggests moving beyond those means. A reliance on something far more intrinsic, more primitive. It's a stark symbol of his altered state. A declaration that the rules of engagement had fundamentally shifted for him.
Not just tactical, but something deeper. A statement about his transformed nature.
He no longer needed a projectile to inflict damage. His own being had become the instrument of force.
And then, even more dramatically, the source notes, he didn't sleep.
Didn't sleep at all.
That's what it says, which is a monumental departure from basic human biology. Sleep is essential for survival, cellular repair, cognitive function, psychological well-being.
The body can't go long without it. Maybe 36, 48 hours before severe cognitive impairment, hallucinations.
Eventual physical collapse.
So to completely forego sleep, it suggests a fundamental physiological alteration, a complete re-engineering of his central nervous system.
Pushing him way beyond normal human endurance. Biological necessity just didn't seem to apply.
What could possibly fuel that? What energy source was keeping him perpetually awake?
And coupled with that,
he didn't eat with the others.
Right. Which further detaches him, not just from basic physiological needs, but from those human social rituals. Sustenance, camaraderie around a meal.
It implies total self-sufficiency. A complete break from the communal bonds of soldiering and really from humanity itself.
These aren't just quirks, are they? Not just unusual habits.
No, they're fundamental changes to the very fabric of his being. they suggest a radical re-engineering of his biology, defying the basic requirements for complex life. The sum of these observations points to someone whose internal mechanics have been utterly rewritten.
And here's where the story takes a truly visceral turn. Frankly, horrifying. It shifts from this mysterious transformation to outright primal terror.
What happened?
The source gives a specific, disturbing anecdote from a fellow soldier, an eyewitness account that just defies belief.
Okay.
This soldier stated unequivocally that he saw Silas drag a man from a trench with his bare hands.
Bare hands. Dragged him out.
Yeah. Think about the sheer raw power needed for that. To rip someone out of a trench, overcome their resistance, all with unarmed force.
It speaks to a level of strength far beyond normal human capacity.
It's a stark, horrifying transformation. From that meticulous scout to something else entirely.
And the witness's description didn't stop there, did it?
No. It clarified the chilling nature of the confrontation. The soldier stated, it wasn't a fight, it was a slaughter.
Slaughter, that word choice. It's incredibly intentional, powerful.
It doesn't imply a struggle, does it? Not two equals fighting, not even a desperate act of combat.
No, it paints a picture of overwhelming, almost animalistic power. Brutality.
Yeah.
A complete lack of resistance from the victim, and this chilling, almost effortless efficiency from Ward.
The word slaughter is usually for, well, the systematic killing of animals.
Yeah.
Devoid of personal struggle.
Applying it to a human interaction is meant to evoke that predator-prey dynamic, not two soldiers fighting to the death. It elevates Ward to something beyond human, something terrifying in its efficiency and a ruthlessness.
So we have to ask, what kind of experience could strip away someone's humanity so thoroughly, leave them physically intact, maybe even enhanced, but capable of such primal violence?
And what does that mean for how we understand trauma, or even human evolution, its limits?
It's not just that he became violent, it's the nature of it. Effortless, devastating, seemingly devoid of human struggle or emotion.
Like the human element was just removed,
mm-hmm.
replaced by something cold, efficient, horrifyingly effective.
What happened in those 3 weeks he was gone from Vimy Ridge? What could induce that profound, almost dehumanizing transformation?
The physiological, the psychological changes, they're so extreme they defy conventional explanation. Was it some environmental exposure, some unknown trauma?
The source gives no answers, just the stark, undeniable reality of his altered state.
And what does it mean that such a transformation was not only possible, but maybe even actively beneficial in the context of brutal warfare? It really pushes the boundaries of biological and psychological understanding.
And then, just as mysteriously as he reappeared, he vanished again.
Gone again.
Yeah. The source says, by the end of the war, Silas vanished again. But this time, it felt different. More final.
How so?
The source emphasizes, but this time, he stayed gone. It establishes this terrifying pattern of mysterious disappearances, but this time with a sense of deliberate, permanent withdrawal.
Like he just walked away from the war, from human society, for good.
Retreated, not just from the fighting, but from the whole concept of human interaction.
It creates this image of an individual existing totally outside societal norms, able to just disengage from the world at will, like physical boundaries, social constructs, just didn't mean anything to men anymore.
This second disappearance, after such a radical transformation, it suggests he adapted to a new way of being, one that didn't need human civilization anymore.
Or maybe was fundamentally incompatible with it.
He became this almost spectral figure, fading into the background, but never really gone from the story.
But his story didn't end there, did it? Even after vanishing from the war?
No, absolutely not. Years later, actually decades later, his legend started to resurface.
Not in Europe, though.
No, not in the battlefields. But in the vast, unforgiving wilderness of the Yukon. Thousands of miles away from the trenches.
The Yukon. What were the stories there?
The source talks about grizzled hunters, trappers deep in the remote Canadian north. They started telling stories about a man.
And not just ordinary campfire tales, I'm guessing.
Far from it. They spoke of something utterly extraordinary. Something that echoed the impossible resilience of Silas Ward.
What kind of things did they report?
Well, the first detail about these Yukon sightings is particularly striking. It adds this truly supernatural, almost ghost-like quality to his presence.
Go on.
Hunters in the Yukon told stories of a man moving through the woods without tracks.
Without tracks. In the Yukon. With snow, mud, frost. It leaves a mark there.
Exactly. To move without tracks is to defy physics, the most basic principles of interaction. It makes him seem intangible, a whisper of a presence, not a physical being, a shadow leaving no trace.
That suggests more than just stealth. Maybe a fundamental alteration of his mass, density, or how he even interacts with the ground. That's bizarre.
And his resilience in those harsh conditions was apparently just as unbelievable, defying all known human limits for survival.
What did they see?
The source describes him starkly as shirtless in the snow.
Shirtless? In the Yukon snow? That's instant frostbite, hypothermia, death for a normal person.
Pretty quickly, yeah. To be shirtless in that environment suggests an incredible, almost impossible tolerance for extreme cold. It just further emphasizes this profound physical alteration, a biological recalibration making him impervious to the environment.
It's like his internal thermostat was completely rewired, allowing him to thrive in conditions that would kill others.
It's another data point suggesting a fundamental shift in his physiology, beyond anything known to science or even speculative biology.
Yeah, this isn't just toughness or getting used to the cold. It's a complete recalibration of his biological responses to extreme environmental stress.
He's impervious to conditions that define the limits of human survival, suggesting what? Internal heat regulation, a metabolic rate totally outside the human norm.
His body seems to have adapted into this perfect, self-sustaining survival machine.
And then there's the observation about his eyes, a detail that really mirrors that primal transformation seen during the war.
What about his eyes?
Eyes like something wild.
Wild.
It reinforces that animalistic, transformed nature. It's not just a physical change in his body, it's a shift in his very essence, a feral quality setting him apart from humanity, aligning him more with, I don't know, apex predators than his own species.
It speaks to a profound internal shift, where the rational mind may be receded, replaced by something more ancient, instinctual.
This specific detail really points to an internal transformation, doesn't it? The outward appearance reflecting an inner shift in consciousness or instinct.
It suggests a loss of human empathy, maybe reasoning, replaced by something more primal, survival-driven. He's no longer just a man. He's something deeply connected to the wild, almost part of it, a living embodiment of the untamed.
Implying a complete alteration of his cognitive processes, maybe a return to a more basic instinctual existence that doesn't need human society or even abstract thought.
And the legend kept growing, adding more impossible ability.
Oh, yeah. It grew, encompassing abilities that just defy all known logic, all biological understanding. The core of his Yukon legend was this startling claim. Some said he could heal, that wounds closed overnight.
Wounds closing overnight. Rapid healing.
Exactly. It introduces this concept of rapid, almost instantaneous recovery, a regenerative ability that directly mirrors that remarkable lack of his own blood when he returned from Vimy Ridge.
So it's a consistent, unexplained power, connecting the Vimy Ridge figure to the Yukon figure.
It seems so. It suggests his very cells have this unprecedented capacity for repair and renewal, far beyond anything observed in nature, except maybe, like, the simplest organisms.
That regenerative ability. It's maybe the most significant and consistent claim in the Yukon legend. And like you said, it correlates directly with that earlier observation from Vimy Ridge, covered in blood, but not his own, implying he was injured, but recovered almost instantly.
It's this continuous, unexplained power bridging his two existences.
For wounds to close overnight suggests a cellular healing rate orders of magnitude faster than normal human physiology, a complete bypass of the proliferative phases of wound healing.
It implies a constant state of cellular renewal, a biological state closer to, well, something fictional than a human being.
And then there was something even more boundary pushing.
Yeah, truly pushing the boundaries of belief and reason. Another startling claim emerged from those Yukon stories. Others said he hadn't aged in decades.
Hadn't aged. In decades.
That's the claim, which elevates his mystery to a whole different plane. It suggests immortality, or at least a massively extended lifespan where the biological clock has either slowed to an imperceptible crawl.
Or just stopped working altogether.
Human aging is complex, right? Cellular senescence, telomere shortening, metabolic decline.
All that.
For Ward to defy this fundamental biological process suggests a radical fundamental reprogramming of his genetic code. Or maybe ongoing cellular regeneration that prevents decay.
It's as if time itself stopped affecting him in the normal way, making him this eternal observer of the world.
So when you have multiple independent accounts across different decades, thousands of miles apart,
describing such consistent, inexplicable phenomena, moving without tracks, surviving extreme cold, healing instantly, not aging. What does that suggest about the mystery itself?
It moves beyond just coincidence or campfire stories.
Right. It enters the realm of a persistent, living legend, a phenomenon that continues to defy conventional documentation. The very consistency of the reports, even though they're so extraordinary, makes them incredibly compelling.
They point not to scattered delusion, but to this recurring, inexplicable presence that you just can't easily dismiss.
So what does it all mean? We've got this man who vanishes from a brutal battlefield.
Returns utterly altered. Capable of superhuman strength, resilience.
Vanishes again.
And then reappears across decades in the wilderness with seemingly impossible abilities, accelerated healing, agelessness.
It really pushes the boundaries of belief. It forces us to confront the idea that there might be aspects of human experience or maybe the very nature of existence that just don't conform to our understanding of reality.
He remains this enduring, silent presence, the source says. No name, no words, just a presence in the trees.
An observer, a silent force, forever part of the wilderness, yet somehow utterly apart from it.
This raises a big question for us, doesn't it? When such a consistent and inexplicable set of phenomena is reported, even across different times and places, how do we categorize it?
Is it just myth-making, the human tendency to tell tall tales? Or is it evidence of something genuinely anomalous, something that simply defies our current scientific paradigms?
The consistency of these reports, despite how extraordinary they are, makes them incredibly compelling.
It forces us to consider the limits of our knowledge, the possibility of phenomena existing outside our current scientific framework.
And this brings us right back directly to the title of our source document and its bold, almost audacious assertion. He didn't have claws, but he could tear through a man-like paper. This is the real-life Wolverine.
Wow. So the source itself makes that incredible comparison, directly linking Silas Ward to this iconic figure of modern comic book fiction.
It's not just a casual observation, is it? Or some narrative flourish. It's central to how his story is framed, how it's presented. The document itself is making a definitive statement about who or what he became.
And what's truly fascinating here is how often human history, or maybe human legend, provides these figures who, through sheer force of mystery or incredible survival, become almost mythological.
Right.
The Wolverine label. It serves to encapsulate that, even if it's a modern overlay, a contemporary archetype we understand.
That's like a narrative shortcut to describe the indescribable.
Exactly. To give a relatable framework to something that feels fundamentally alien to our understanding of human biology and endurance. It's a way to contextualize the inexplicable by drawing on a shared cultural understanding of superhuman capability, of primal ferocity.
And when you explore that parallel, the connection becomes even more profound, almost uncanny.
How so?
Well, think about the specific attributes of the fictional Wolverine. Superhuman strength. Check. Extraordinary healing factor. Regeneration. Check.
A feral or uncommunicative nature.
Definitely check. An ambiguous, often painful past. Seems likely. And a clear resistance to aging, bordering on immortality. That's in there, too.
Now line that up with Silas Ward, as described in our source.
Chilling eyewitness accounts of superhuman strength drag a man from a trench with his bare hands, described as a slaughter. Clear indication of rapid healing, his return covered in blood, none of it his. Later reports that wounds closed overnight.
His nature, consistently described, becoming increasingly feral, eyes like something wild. His complete unnerving silence, refusing to communicate.
His past before Vimy is sparse, ambiguous. His life after, in the Yukon, shrouded in mystery, known only through these fleeting, disturbing sightings.
And of course, that startling claim, he hadn't aged in decades, which aligns perfectly with the agelessness attributed to the fictional character.
The parallels aren't just superficial, are they? They cut right to the core of both figures' extraordinary nature.
It is almost uncanny.
So the question becomes, is this just a narrative device, a modern lens to make an inexplicable historical account more relatable, a shorthand for an unbelievable story?
Or does it hint at something deeper, an archetypal human fascination with figures who possess extraordinary resilience, primal survival instincts, a profound, maybe dangerous connection to the wild, even if it means sacrificing part of their conventional humanity?
It speaks to our primal fear, maybe our fascination, with what lies beyond normal human limits. What happens when the human form is pushed so far it transforms into something else?
And this raises that important question for all of us, really. In an age where we try to quantify everything, understand everything, categorize every phenomenon, What does it mean when we encounter a documented account that just defies rational explanation?
How do we integrate that into our understanding of the world?
Or do we just relegate it to myth?
Yeah.
Even when the source itself presents these things as factual occurrences.
The comparison to Wolverine, even though he's fictional, it serves to make the incomprehensible. Comprehensible, maybe. Even if only through the lens of this powerful modern archetype.
It's a way for our minds to try and grasp something that fundamentally resists logical categorization.
Ultimately, the source gives us these incredible, often chilling details. But it leaves us with a truly unresolved mystery, a file that just refuses to close.
The profound unknowns remain right at the center of Silas Ward's story.
What precisely happened during those 3 weeks he was gone from Vimy Ridge? What horrific transformative event could cause such a profound, irreversible physical and behavioral shift?
How did he acquire these seemingly impossible abilities? Accelerated healing, apparent agelessness, defying biology, defying time.
And why did he vanish for good after the war? Why choose that solitary, silent existence in the desolate wilds of the Yukon?
It's a powerful testament, really, to the idea that not everything can be neatly explained or documented within our current frameworks of knowledge.
The very existence of this account as presented challenges our assumptions about human physiology, the nature of trauma, maybe the nature of reality itself.
It forces us to confront the unsettling possibility that some phenomena simply exist outside our current scientific framework, continuing to operate in the shadows, leaving behind only these tantalizing, inexplicable traces.
Maybe some histories are just meant to remain unsolved, challenging us to consider the limits of our own knowledge to really grapple with the unexplained.
The story of Silas Ward, the Wolverine of Vimy Ridge, is not just a historical footnote. It's a living question mark, a persistent, chilling whisper from the past that refuses to be silenced or fully understood.
It leaves us with this unsettling realization, doesn't it? That even in our era of meticulous record keeping, some truths might be so extraordinary, so far beyond comprehension.
That they can only be expressed through legend, blurring the lines between what we define as fact and what we comfortably relegate to the fantastic.
So we've journeyed through the incredible documented life of Silas Ward, from that quiet Canadian scout swallowed by the trenches of Vimy Ridge to an enduring, ageless, unsettling presence observed in the wilds of the Yukon. His story is a powerful, persistent whisper from the past, an enigma wrapped in an almost superhuman shell.
And the source, the Wolverine of Vimy Ridge, it gives us this astonishing narrative filled with details that just beg for answers, yet definitively it offers no conclusive explanations.
Silas Ward remains a file of the unexplained, a testament to what utterly defies our understanding, a shadow that persists in the periphery of history.
What does it say about humanity, or perhaps the very world itself, that sometimes the most astonishing stories are the ones that utterly refuse to be explained, leaving us only with their unsettling, undeniable presence?
We leave you with that thought to ponder long after this deep dive concludes.